Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week. So I was rummaging through a collection of baseball cards, and I pulled out my old 1978 Earl Weaver. If you remember Earl Weaver, he was manager for the Baltimore Orioles. Actually took them to the World Series in 1970, and this is my 1978 Earl Weaver. And this was a card, this was during the golden age of baseball managers. Do you remember Billy Martin? Whenever there was a call he didn't like, Billy would run out to the home plate, he would yell all kinds of profanities in the ump's face, he'd kick dirt on home plate, all of that. Earl Weaver had a little bit different approach. When he didn't like a call, he would run out to home plate, he would get in the umpire's face, and the first thing he would say is this: "Are you going to get any better, or is this it?" Not a bad question to ask. And really not a bad question to ask about life, and not a bad question to ask right here in church. For you, are you going to get any better, or is this it? In talking about your career, and talking about your emotional health, and talking about your spiritual vitality, and talking about your family, and talking about your marriage. I mean, really, you could take that and apply that just about to any place in your life. Are you going to get any better, or is this it? And we're talking for a couple of weeks about Jesus being the difference maker. And I already alluded to a quote here earlier that we are not at peace with others because we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with God. And Jesus, as a difference maker, he really wants to make a difference in how we relate to others and ourselves, but primarily in how we relate to God. And when it comes to those three relationships, I think Jesus asks us every day, as much as we will listen, are you going to get any better? Or is this it? And we're looking in the Gospel of John at some critical conversations that Jesus had with people, some fierce conversations. Now, in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see Jesus up in front of the crowd, but in John, we get a little more of a personal touch going on. And so today, I really want to just sit on that Earl Weaver question, because it comes pretty close to that question that Christ asked: are you going to get any better, or is this it? So this is out of the Gospel of John. By the sheep gate in Jerusalem, this is John chapter 5, there was a pool called Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy in Aramaic, which had five colonnades. Within these lay a large number of disabled, blind, lame, paralyzed, and one man was there who had been disabled for 38 years. Okay, so Jesus goes into this place called Bethesda, house of mercy. That's especially appropriate for what's about to happen. Now, the poor were gathered here. We're not exactly sure of the reason, okay? There was a pool here. It was an intermittent spring. It would bubble up. You'd be able to see it from the middle of the pool, these bubbles, these ripples taking place. Some people believe that it was like a mineral bath, that when this pool bubbled up, and we still go to mineral baths today, we go to spas, and we think by bathing in these waters, it will make us healthy. So maybe there were a lot of people there to meet at the mineral bath, and because there was a concentration of people, the poor and the lame also gravitated there because it was a good place to beg for help, to beg for money. But some people surmise that there was actually a superstition going around that any time this intermittent spring bubbled, that an angel's wings had brushed the ground or had brushed the water. So it's like whenever a bell rings, an angel gets his wings or something like that. You know, any time the water ripples, I got nothing to rhyme with that, but an angel would be there over the surface of the water, so the first person in the water would be miraculously healed. You know, that sounds silly and that sounds superstitious, but if you've been sick long enough, nothing sounds crazy. And so there were people there, whether they looked at it from a medical point of view or a miraculous point of view, there were a lot of people gathered at this pool wanting healing. And Jesus noticed one man who had been there for 38 years. Now, we're not sure how he knew this. It could be that Jesus was using his own supernatural insight. It could be that he was talking to a few other people. It could be that even when Jesus was a boy in Jerusalem and he went to the temple, he saw this guy sitting in the same place. He'd been there 38 years. That is like if you met somebody today who had been laying in the same spot since 1980. That's a long time. What I like about this is that Jesus took the toughest case. Jesus doesn't shy away from a tough case. In fact, Jesus looked to engage somebody who was the toughest case. Somebody said that life in our world right now is defined by the five D's: daycare, debt, divorce, depression, and death. That's not very encouraging, is it? And you might feel like a tough case. But I'm telling you, if you feel like a tough case, you're exactly the person that Jesus would want to talk to. And he's going to ask one question: do you want to get any better, or is this it? So Jesus approaches this man, and he starts this conversation. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized he'd already been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get any better? Or is this it?" That's the question I want Jesus to ask you this morning. Would you let him? Whatever's going on in your life, and I can't read your mind, I don't have that supernatural insight, but do you want to get any better, or is this it? What Jesus is doing here is he's addressing this man according to his identity. Not only did he have a disability, he had become his disability for 38 years. He didn't see himself as a person who was crippled. He saw himself as crippled. And what Jesus is doing when he asks him this question is, are you ready to change? Because if you're disabled and you're used to begging for sustenance from other people, you know how to do that. But if I heal you, you're now going to not have to rely on other people. You're going to have to take responsibility for your own life, and your whole life is going to change if I heal you. So this is probably something you don't know about me. I own a movie production company. I run and manage my own movie production company. It's right here in my head. But my movie production company only knows how to produce one kind of film. It only knows how to produce horror films. So every time change comes along, I just imagine the worst case scenario. But if we want to get well, if we want to get better, we've got to be willing for Jesus to change some things, and that can be a little bit scary. You want to get any better, or is this it? Jesus was also addressing him not only on a level of identity, he was addressing him on the level of emotion. Can you imagine 38 years lying in the same place, hoping for healing? I guarantee you that hope had died a long time ago. And he'd given up any hope that his life would get any better. I love what Ray Bradbury said. He said, "Go to the edge of the cliff and jump off. Build your wings on the way down." That sounds so romantic unless you crashed and burned one too many times. Would this man open himself up to risk one more time in the hopes of healing? Do you want to get any better? Or is this it? Okay, so the conversation continues. "Sir," the disabled man answered, "I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." Now, whether he saw the pool as a mineral bath or some kind of miraculous vehicle, again, we're not sure. "But I have no one to put me in the water when it's stirred up. And while I'm coming in, someone goes down ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus told him. "Pick up your mat and walk." And instantly, the man got well. He picked up his mat and he started to walk. Now, that day was the Sabbath. Do you want to get any better, or is this it? Let me ask you some questions. By the way, Jesus was the master of questions. In the four Gospels, he is asked 183 questions. He only answered three of them. But in the Gospel, he asks 307 questions, one of which is this one. Do you want to get well? Are you going to get any better, or is this it? So let me take that question and just kind of go off in a couple of different directions if I could interpret that for you today. I don't know all that's what's going on in your life, but do you want to get better? When will you stop ignoring or avoiding God? When will you stop ignoring or avoiding God? I think for Christians, a way to apply that is we think, you know, I'll get around to God one day. One day I'll get really serious about my relationship with God. You know what? There's distractions in your life today. There's going to be distractions one day, too. If you're not willing to be serious about them today, you probably won't be then. Quit kidding yourself. It's kind of now or never. You want to get any better, or is this it? For non-Christians, one thing that I often hear is people say, "Well, I just don't believe in God." You know what that is? That's a cop-out. Usually that belief is supported by a lot of lazy thinking and very little research or intellect. It's just easier to believe someone doesn't exist. But the reality is a lot of people are angry at that God who doesn't exist. If that's you, I don't believe in God. I want you to really think about that. Are you trying to avoid or ignore him? Do you want to get any better, or is this it? Another question. Where are you most broken today? Where are you most broken today? It could be spiritually, it could be mentally, it could be emotionally, it could be relationally. And are you willing to risk bringing that to God and letting him fix that in any way that he sees fit? You want to get well? You want to get better, or is this it? What's the most important decision you are facing today that you've been avoiding bringing to God? Maybe it's a decision for your career. Maybe it's a decision. Maybe there's a person that you've been avoiding, but it's the very person that you need to reconcile a relationship with. Do you want to get any better, or is this it? What do you want God to do for you? What are you afraid God is going to do to you if you get in a relationship with him? Would you let Jesus just ask you some of those questions today? Now we're going to take a little bit of a turn in this story, and I've said all along through this teaching series, again, Jesus wants to be a difference maker, and we're using this little tagline that even a certain kind of person needs Jesus. So even prejudiced people need Jesus, even over religious people need Jesus, even people who are socially awkward, even people with a past, even people who are broken need Jesus. This one, even those who are stuck need Jesus. And if you feel stuck in life right now, you are in the perfect place this morning. You are in the perfect place to let Jesus ask you, are you going to get any better, or is this it? In fact, I just happened to run across a quote this week. I added it in the 11th hour. It says something like this. We live in such a fast-paced, frenzy, and complex world that it's easy to believe that we are all trapped into being someone we do not wish to be and living a life we do not desire to live. We long for some way to cut through the complexities and turbulence of everyday life. We search for a way to overcome divisiveness that separates, disparages, disrespects, diminishes, and leaves us wounded and incomplete. We know deep within that the path we are on is not working, but we simply don't know any other way. Do you feel stuck today? If so, would you hear Christ just ask you the question, do you want to get well? Are you going to get any better? Or is this it? But now I would contend that this crippled man isn't the only one who's stuck. Okay, and let me just tell you this next part of the story. So the crippled man, he is healed immediately. He picks up his mat that he's been sitting on. He's walking away. He's on the Sabbath. Let me remind you that the Jews were really particular about the Sabbath. You don't do any work on the Sabbath. And one of the big rules is you don't move furniture on the Sabbath. By the way, if you've ever moved furniture, you know that is real work, right? That's real work to move furniture. So here he's carrying his pallet, which qualifies as furniture. And as he's carrying it along, the religious people just go nuts over this detail of their law. Well, he's doing work on the Sabbath. They've missed the fact that Jesus, he just healed a guy that had been there for 38 years. And they're worried about what he's carrying on the Sabbath. Now, before you get too hard on these religious people, I want you to stop and think about this for just a minute. And this is no frustration for me. I have no other agenda. I just do this as a way of application and also a way of calling us forward. What's been the last complaint that you've had about your church? What's been the last complaint? No, I'm not opening the floor right now. That would be a bad thing. You know, what's the last complaint about that you've said to somebody else about your church? So I've heard a lot of doozies over the years. You know, the pastor doesn't wear a tie, or I've got problem with weekday parking when I come down here, or I walked in this morning and the front doors were dirty, or, you know, I don't like the classroom we've been assigned to. Oh, no, it goes like that, you know. And we forget that the one thing that Jesus wants to do is to totally alter someone's eternity. That's what Jesus is about. Jesus is saying, I want to take who you are. I want to change everything about who you are. Is it going to be scary? Yes. But is it going to be essential? Absolutely. I want to change you and create a new person out of you. And we as followers of Christ are worried about if the front doors are dirty or not. We all tend to the trivial, don't we? We all tend to triviality. Recent statistics. You spend 23 days a year looking at your iPhone. 23 days a year. In that time, you could train for a marathon. You could write a book. You could build relationships. But instead, we're committed to Candy Crush, aren't we? We all tend toward the trivial. So here's what I would tell you today. This crippled guy is not the only one who is stuck. The religious people were stuck too. They were too stuck in their ways to see the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. So I don't know if you're crippled in some way this morning or if you're just cynical in some way this morning, but would you hear that offer to get unstuck? Are you going to get any better or is this it? And whether you're crippled or cynical, there is good news today. So the religious people take their trivialities to Jesus. They say, you know, not only should you have not healed on the Sabbath, but he shouldn't have been carrying his mat on the Sabbath. And Jesus says in the original Greek, are you kidding me? Okay, he really doesn't say that, but that's kind of the tone of it. And Jesus explains to them. Okay, they started persecuting Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. He did these things on the Sabbath. And it says in 5:17, Jesus responded to them. Or another way of saying this, Jesus explained to them, my Father is still working, and I am working also. God's compassion never takes a vacation. God's desire to change us never takes a holiday. Right now, would you be aware that God has been working on you to bring you to this point of life? And no matter where you are or what you've been through, no matter if you're crippled in some way or cynical about something, Jesus is looking at you and says, do you want to get well? Are you going to get any better? Or is this it? And God is never going to stop asking that question. So a man named Arlen retired in the mid-1960s. His pension left him with $101 per month. He didn't think that was enough to live on. He had had a very diverse career. He had been a personal attendant. He had been a conductor on a street train. He'd done all these things, and he only had $101 a month for Social Security. But even in the 1950s, that wasn't very much money. So he remembered when he was a young kid, his mother died early. One thing he loved to do was to cook for his younger brothers. And so one of the things that he knew how to cook best was fried chicken. Now, Arlen was also an honorary colonel. The governor of Kentucky had made him an honorary colonel back in the 1930s. Have you already pieced together where I'm going with this? Okay. Let's stop and appreciate Colonel Sanders here for just a moment today. All right. He was 61 when he started selling chicken. In the next 10 years, he took advantage of this new interstate system and went around selling his special recipe of 11 herbs and spices, which, by the way, that and Coca-Cola are among the most secretly guarded recipes on the planet. He sold his interest 10 years later for $2 million, but until the time he was 90, he traveled 250,000 miles every year for the company. The guy just didn't stop. And we're talking about fried chicken there. God is concerned about your heart, your soul, your life, and he's not going to stop working on you. And I think every day he asks us a question, are you going to get any better or is this it? So I want to give you a way to size up your heart just briefly. And then we're going to have a time of responding to God this morning. I want you to take the question, why me? Why me? Question mark. Now, if you think about it, there are two ways to ask that question. One, we've been well trained in, okay? One is that we grumble, we hold grudges, we hold on to our wounds, and we say, why me? Why did God do this to me? Why doesn't God change things? Why doesn't God answer my prayers the way I want Him to? Why me? And it's a matter of holding on to a grudge. I want you to think that there's another way to ask that question. Why me? You look at your life and you say, why has God been so gracious to me? To put the people in my life that He has given me, even to give me some of the challenges He has given me, I'm undeserving of all this. Why me? I just want you to size up your own heart this morning, because when you ask that question, in what tone do you ask it? Do you ask it while you're holding on to a grudge? Let me tell you this. As long as you are holding on to a grudge, you can never open your hand to receive grace. Why me? Do you look on that with pity? Or why me? Do you look on your life and you say, God has so undeservingly blessed my life? You know what? If you're over here holding on to a grudge or holding on to your wounds, if you're crippled, if you're cynical, I've got one question for you. Do you want to get well? Are you going to get any better? Or is this it? And the very act of letting go of our grudges and letting go of our wounds, putting those down, we open our hands and we open our hearts to receive grace. Do you want to get any better? Or is this it? So I want to give you a chance to do business with God this morning, because we've heard Jesus' question. I hope I've asked it enough to permanently pierce it into your heart, and maybe it'll sit there for a while and work on you. But this is one of those times where we just need to respond to God's grace. And if there's something, a grudge that you're holding on to, maybe it's time to let it go. If you've defined yourself by an old wound, it's time to let it go. If you need healing, it's time to ask for it. And instead of holding on to it, to receive God's grace. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand and pray in just a moment, and Jeff is going to come up with the praise team, and we're going to sing a pretty familiar song. But then I want to open it up to you to do some business with God today. And listen, asking Baptist, you know, there's a reason the guy stayed in the same spot for 38 years, because he was a Baptist. He just stayed in that same spot, right? I know asking Baptist to move out of their spot is asking for nearly the miraculous, but if we can't be real with God here, where can we be real with God? I mean, just think about that. So we're going to sing and we're going to worship, and if you just want some time to come to an altar and take whatever you're holding on to, whatever wound or grudge, and just leave it here, just feel free to come to this side of the altar and pray, and you'll be left alone. But if you want somebody to pray over you, I would invite you to come to this side of the altar, and just one of our staff members will come up behind you and put a hand on your shoulder. We're not even going to pray out loud. We're not going to ask you what you're praying about, but just have somebody else just to feel that hand on the shoulder and to know that you're being prayed for. For some of you, you need that comfort. And when you feel that hand on your shoulder, would you feel the hand of Christ? That somebody else cares enough to pray over you today. So I'm going to take some time over here. I always want to do some work myself. There's some things I'm letting go of. Then after I finish, I'm going to stand right here in the middle, and I have a little vial of oil. In the New Testament, there's nothing miraculous about oil. It's symbolic. Okay, this is not about any kind of superstition. It's a symbol of healing. And if you're like this man at the pool, you say, you know what, I need healing, maybe spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You feel free to just walk down, meet me face to face. I'll make the sign of the cross with some oil on your head and just pray for you briefly. And it's a way of just opening your heart and opening your life to receive the healing of God. Also, as you come down, if you have never said yes to the Lordship of Christ, you can come down. When you see me face to face, you can say, I need to make Jesus my Lord. And what I'm going to do is, our commitment advisors are going to be right over here this morning. I'm just going to catch one of their eyes, and I'm going to introduce you to them, and they'll take you off into a room to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lordship of Christ. That is the deepest healing that we can experience. The forgiveness and the freedom and the fresh start that comes from knowing Jesus Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins and has restored our relationship with God. Maybe that's the healing that you most need today. So would you prepare now to meet with God? Let's stand together and let's pray together. Jesus, I dare to ask the question one more time and to interpret your words through old Earl Weaver. Are we going to get any better, or is this it? And I can speak for myself to say that I'm holding on to some sins and some grudges and some wounds that need to be let go of. They should have been let go a long time ago. And maybe by letting go of those grudges, I can open my hand to receive grace. So we come to meet with you today at this altar. I pray for those who put some things down today that they would leave them here and never to be picked up again. I pray for those who need to be prayed over that they would sense Christ praying alongside them today. And I pray for those who come asking for healing. God, the reason that we don't ask for healing more often is because we're afraid that you won't come through. When reality is, we're just going to ask and let you answer the way that you want to. But we will not be guilty of not asking for your healing, for those who have physical ailments, for those who spiritually, mentally, emotionally wounded. We come to your healing embrace this morning. We love you. Help us to do business with you today and to confess as we sing in the song that we really do need you. And we worship you and we respond to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You have that freedom to respond now. You do so as you see fit.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.